are you on this morning? Oh, it's good to see you. I hope you stay that loud during the course of this message. For God has a message for each and every one of us. And I have to admit, on the onset, it's a message that he also has been sharing with me over some time. I don't know if you know this or not, but before we stand to preach to you, the Holy Spirit always preaches to us. And so the same message you get is the same message we receive as preachers and proclaimers of the word. And then God takes us through it to experience it so that we can speak it to you in authenticity. I hope you appreciate that. And so God is continuing to challenge us this year as we are following the vision for our lives that every day we're going to work to follow Jesus each and every day of our lives. And if this is your first time with us, we've been in a series out of the book of Philippians, that letter that Apostle Paul penned to the believers in Philippi. And you'll find that in the New Testament part of your Bibles, Philippians, particularly the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter, many of you may have committed this passage to memory. For some of you, this is a needed and a timely word that God would have for us. And it's one that you want to keep in your back pocket, in your front pocket, even on the mirror of your home, that it might minister to you. Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning at that fourth verse. The apostle writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, just in case you didn't hear me the first time, he says, "Rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord, how often? And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all that the Lord is. He's here. He's at hand. He's near. NIV says, and be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. With the help of the Holy Spirit on this morning, we want to see this text with this thought in our minds that God provides for us the remedy for anxiety. God provides for us the remedy for anxiety. Father, as we commit ourselves to your word, we ask that you would allow our hearts, our minds to be receptive soil for the seed of your word. Father, that it might take deep root in our lives, that we might apply the truths of your word, that we might walk as models with a message, dear God, that you are in control. And because you're in control, we need not worry, but we're able to exist in peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It doesn't matter how old you are, or how young you are, how young you may think you are, or how old you actually are. All of us will have an experience with worry. All of us will have an experience with anxiety. Now, Lorraine, I know you're in the medical profession, and I can't say I know exactly when it happens, where something in our lives moves from being carefree to caring about everything. I don't know exactly when it happens. I just know every now and then when my children were younger, I used to look in the back seat and honestly, I would envy at them. I'd be envious because they were in the back seat of the car as I was driving with no care in the world. They weren't worrying about anything. They weren't paying attention to anything. They were just enjoying life. And I looked and I said, you know what? I wouldn't mind being just like that. Had a flashback of that commercial we used to hear, "I don't want to grow up, Will. I'm a Toys R Us kid." And then something happened as we were growing up and becoming older. You don't have to admit to it or not, but truth is, all of a sudden you found yourself being weighted down with some of the concerns of the world. You found yourself underneath the burden of the unexpected. Anybody in here ever had a season of worry? Yeah, oh, come on, let's tell the truth up in here. Anybody, you say right now, you speaking my language, you tasting my Kool-Aid. Hey, Pastor, I'm in that season right now. And yet the Word of God comes at a timely point in our lives. I remember my favorite daughter. Just a few years back. Look at that baby. Boy, you're so pretty. We're going to put you in homeschool. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, take care of your daughter. Yeah, take care of your daughter. The boys can go wherever they want to go. But anyway, I remember my favorite daughter. She did something one morning, Lee, as I was trying to make my way to the office. As I was about to leave out, she did something. She was enjoying her morning ritual and routine to get ready for school. She was doing it. She was doing her thing. And I was in a difficult moment at the time because any of you ever had an unexpected bill to come in your life? Just you know, nobody warned you about it. It just happened to show up in your mailbox and you looked around and you saw your name was on it and you wanted to make sure they didn't make a mistake. Well, I was having an issue with whoever assessed my property tax. And so I was in that perilous point where I'm like, God, we didn't plan for this. They didn't even ask me about it. But my daughter, she was doing her thing, right? And look how it happened. She comes down from her room and she says, Daddy, wasn't frantic, wasn't uncool, she wasn't out of her mind. As you would think, she just said, Daddy, I missed the school bus. And I need you to bring me to school. I saw her calm demeanor because she knows, you know, she knows she's daddy's favorite daughter. Don't look at me like that. She is. And if she bat her eyes just right, she can get almost anything she wants. And so I said, no problem, baby. I'm going to take care of you. Daddy got you. And I'm bringing her to school. Here's my personal testimony. I'm bringing her to school, but in the back of my mind, I'm wondering how we're going to do this. I'm really concerned and worried about how we're going to make just the two ends wave at each other this month because of what this unjustified adjuster decided to assess our property value at. He didn't talk to me about this. And I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this, and I'm driving her, and I'm getting her there, and she's just all calm and collected, and I drop her off at the school, and something happened. Ricky, why don't you go ahead and show them what happened? Because there I was at the school. I dropped her off at the school, and I didn't pick up any additional passengers. If you know anything about me, and if you ever seen me, my ride, you know that I necessitate that all my windows are all the way up because I don't want the volume of my music to disturb anybody else. But all of a sudden, as I was stressing over how something is going to happen, an unexpected passenger got in the back seat of my car. You see it right there? And I parked in the parking lot of the school, and the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder, and he reminded me, he said, now, did I not say, look at the birds? They never sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father takes care of the birds. I looked in the back seat, and he said, now, if the Father will take care of the birds, how much more will he take care of you? This is what Paul is writing in the text. As he's writing to believers, he wants us to remember that whatever we're going through in life, we're not in it by ourselves. I hope you caught this. That God is always with us, and God is able to lead us from the enslavement of anxiety to experience true and lasting peace. Anybody here want peace? Anybody here need peace? God can lead you to true and lasting peace. Peace, look how he says it, look how it starts. He says, but you have to commit to doing something. Here it is, rejoice in the Lord. Let me tell you something, when that bird showed up in my truck, I didn't shoo it off, I didn't tell it to fly away, I had church in the truck. I parked right down Klein High School campus, and I just said, God be glorified and God be praised, because he reminded me that he's always there. Always. I like that word. That's the word he tells us in the text. Rejoice in the Lord always. Find a reason to have joy in God each and every day of your life. That God has blessed you. And when you hyper-focus on the blessing that God is doing to you, you'll have a reason to rejoice. A reason to experience joy again. I love it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And for those who might be forgetful, again, I say rejoice. How do you do it? Your gentleness is known that God is taking care of everything. I love it because the Lord is near. That God is here. That God is with you. That everywhere you are, God is there. And when you consider and remember all that God has taken you through, you know that whatever you're facing, God will empower you to make it through even this season. When God blesses you in the past, you learn that God is protecting you. Has God protected anyone in this place? Have you been a recipient of God's protection? Have you been a recipient of God's healing? Have you been a recipient of God's amazing grace? When God has been good to you, you don't need a preacher to prep you up or prime you up. You wake up like the psalmist and say, you know what? God has been good to me. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Why? Because you ain't got to praise him, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. And if God has healed you and delivered you, then you ought to rejoice about that. Amen. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because the apostle, as he pens this pointed message to us from his prison cell, is mindful that things happen in our lives that will challenge us and try to steal our joy. The unexpected will happen in life that will cause you to at times wonder what's going to be next. I mean, let's be honest. Tragedy has become almost a normalcy in our American society. Let's be honest about it. Every time you turn on the screen, there's some reason, some daily reminder that horrible things happen every day. And as a result of that, anxiety can start to build. For those of you who've been around, you remember in the 90s, it was the AIDS epidemic. And anxiety began to build. At the end of the 90s, it was Y2K. Any of y'all been alive long enough to remember? Y2K, young people looking at me like, what is this? What are you talking about here? Listen, y'all, many thought that the world was going to crash, that we would have an electronic crash at the end of the 90s. You're looking at me perplexed. I'm going to come to you in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was in the 90s, but we learned a little bit better. But then back in 2000, early 2009, 2010, it was H1N1. Anxiety began to build, the bird flu and the swine flu and any other flu. Then in 2014, it was the Ebola crisis, and anxiety began to build. Oh, yeah, and 2015, it was Zika, and anxiety, every time you saw a mosquito, it was just, get that Zika bug from me. And anxiety began to build. And today it's the coronavirus. And anxiety begins to build. And hear me, brothers and sisters, listen, God is not telling us to be careless, but to be proactive and to be precautious. But as saints of God, he says, we don't have to panic. I'm still in text. He says, saints, you don't have to panic. What you have to do is pray. You didn't close your Bibles, did you? Because after he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and let your gentleness be known to all that the Lord is near. He says, be anxious, don't worry about anything, but in everything, do what? Pray. It's right there, the text. Don't close it. In everything, pray. That was back in the day, they used to say it this way. They used to say, If you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. That's a bunch of baloney. If you worry, pray. Pray. And God will give you the ability to push past your worry to see your faith. And that faith will carry you through. And when he carries you through, then as you see God has pressed you through, then you praise him and thank him because he's done that for you. So if you're worried, guess what you need to do? And when you get through being worried, guess what you need to do? Pray. If there's something in life that will cause you to be anxious about anything, then you pray about that thing. Come on, I'm going to do some Bible study for a moment. He says, in everything, pray. If it stresses you, pray about it. God wants us to come to him first. And in the original language here, Pastor George, you know this, that the word prayer that is used here is not the kind of context where we just come to God with our laundry list of requests and say, God, I want you to do this for me, and 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 amen. No, Mama Hibbert. What this particular word prayer speaks of in the Greek is that we create space. I hope you catch this. We create space for God. This particular word was used in the Greek by the Jews who, when they were in a place that they couldn't get to their regular place of worship, when they couldn't make it around the religious community, they made space to talk to God. Come here. Because some of you know that we need the kind of God that I can call on no matter where I am. I need to have a relationship with God that if I'm caught up at work, I can call on him and he'll respond. I need the kind of God that if I'm in a doctor's office and I'm getting a report, I can call on him and God will respond. Because the Bible declares that when you ask, you shall receive. When you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door will be open. When you call upon the name of the Lord. And guess what? You can call him at any point of the time. Any day, you can call on him. When trouble comes, what are you going to do? You're going to call on him. And God will be there to hear you. He says, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Says, pray. Have a conversation with God. But he said, not just any kind, but pray with thanksgiving. That when you come before the Lord, you begin to think about all that God has already done. In fact, you ought to flip over your note page right now and begin to write some things down you ought to be grateful for. No, you're looking at me like I'm waiting for you to do that. Flip over your note page and begin to write down things you ought to be grateful for. Because God has been good. Be grateful that God has been good. When you come before the Lord in prayer, be thankful. And when you thank him, you begin to praise him. But he said not only in thanking him in prayer, but he also says that we ought to come with him with supplications. With supplications and thanksgiving, meaning we ought to be specific when we talk to God. Whatever you're dealing with, come to God and speak to him specifically about that situation. Because God is a detailed kind of God, that when you call upon him, he will be there for you. I love the text. He says, not only when you call upon him, he'll be there for you, but when you pray, and you pray about everything, he says, the peace of God, the peace. First he says, be joyful. Now he says, be prayerful, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard you. This term here is it's like a garrison. He'll surround you. It's like God will put up a barrier around you to keep you from falling to pieces. Anybody you ever been there where you almost lost your mind? Or you thought you were about to lose your mind, but God put a garrison around you to help you keep your mind because God knew you would need your mind in the next season of your life. When you thought it was going to fall apart, God said, I still have it all together. He puts a garrison. He guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Michael, you may remember this. I saw this just the other day as I was checking out that wonderful rendition by Denzel of the Broadway play called Fences. If you haven't seen this play, you do well to check it out. It's called Fences, where the incomparable Viola Davis was starring in this play. It is the International Women's Day, so let me go ahead and throw that out. Viola Davis was playing across from Denzel Washington in this rendition of Fences. And there she charged her husband to build a fence around their property. And it took his entire lifetime to build the fence. And the key point, I'm going to tell you all the story, but the key point of that story, Dr. Al, is at the end of the story, Viola began to reminisce. And she says, some fences are to keep things out, and other fences are to keep things in. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. That when you have a relationship with God, when you know him for yourself, When you are able to get down on your knees and pray to him, God has the ability to keep some things out and keep some things in. That God has the ability to surround your family and surround your home. That when you pray to him about your children, pray to him about your home, God has a way of keeping the enemy out and keeping his blessings in. He can build a fence. Oh, I feel old school preaching now. Jesus built a fence all around me every day. He'll build a fence around you when you are you're prayerful. Because he calls us to be joyful and to be prayerful. And in that, he gives us peace. But thirdly, brothers and sisters, as we look at the text, he then tells us to be mindful. He says, think of these things. If something is of good report, if it's praiseworthy, he says, think of these things. How do we get from anxiety to peace? You think about the good things that God has for you. Anybody here in third grade? I know I got some third graders in here. I see you, baby. I see you. I got to break this down for third graders because some of you all need to understand. So just hang out and come back to get you. See, when I was in your, I don't even know if they teach this anymore, but when I was in your grade, I remember they used to always have fire drills. And in the fire drill, they would teach you what to do if you caught on fire. They'd say you stop. You drop, and you, I'm trying to teach you something. Some of you new school people didn't even know that. Google it. It's right there. If you catch fire, you stop, you, and you. Well, here it is. When your world catch on fire and anxiety starts to build, let me go ahead and remix that thing for you. What you need to do is stop, drop, and pray. And when you pray, God will hear you. When something happens and get on your last spiritual nerve, don't go off on them. Don't tell them what you really feel. No, you just stop. You drop and you, when things happen in life that is unexpected, don't lose your faith in God. All you got to do is stop, drop, and the God will give you peace that will keep you in your right mind. And when the dust settles and you look around, you can say, God is still good. God is still on the throne. I need not worry. God has me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I place my trust in him, I know that everything is going to be all right. Weeping may endure but a night, but joy comes. I'm hoping you get this here, because God is with you. And I get it, y'all. I get it. Things happen each and every day of our lives. But guess what? Even if it catches us by surprise, it doesn't get God by surprise. God is omniscient. He knows the beginning and the end. And he knows exactly where you are. And he wants to move you from a place of anxiety to a place of peace. In order for you to get there, you have to come to him. And he wants to give you his peace. For it is he who said, Sandy, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The Lord is here. And he wants you to know that he takes care of his children. He wants you to know that he takes care of his children. And to become his child, you have to believe on him. If you can, bow your heads all over the building.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.